Hello, and welcome to A Woman's Heart, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application for women to untangle the lies they believe and pursue the passion God has placed in their hearts. I'm Lisa Granger. If these conversations touch your heart, can you please share with a friend? You can share in person or online. You never know how a simple act of sharing can impact someone. And sharing our lives is what mentoring is all about. This life can get crazy at times, and having someone come alongside you to provide some perspective and support can make all the difference. Joining us today is Nancy Lindgren, who is the founder and CEO of More Mentoring, an organization dedicated to mobilizing mentors. Nancy has a wealth of experience and a genuine heart for others. Welcome to A Woman's Heart. Today, we are very blessed to have with us Nancy Lindgren. Thanks so much for joining us today, Nancy.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's really fun to be with you today.
You are very welcome. Now, I am really looking forward to diving into what is on your heart today. But before we do that, I would love a chance to get to know you and let the audience get to know you a little bit.
Well, I've been married for 37 years to my husband. We met in college, and we have four adult children and one new grandbaby. So I'm in a fun season of getting to be a grandma.
Yay.
I just got to be with her last week, and it was so fun. She's only 6 months old.
Wonderful. I have heard that is a reward for not doing something dastardly to your children when they're younger.
That's right. And you have no responsibilities. You just get to play and have fun.
You just get to go fun, have love on them, and then say, here you go.
I know. And say bye-bye. No, so we're loving this season. We live in Colorado. We actually just moved a few months ago. We used to live up in the mountains.
Okay.
And now we're down in civilization. So I kind of like civilization as well. There's shopping and there's restaurants right around the corner. So that's kind of fun too.
Yeah.
But one thing I'd love to say that maybe someone doesn't know about me is that I have climbed a 14er. And do you know what a 14er is? Lisa?
14, it's a really tall mountain.
It's a tall mountain, over 14,000 feet. And my husband and I climbed it together. We did it.
Wow.
And I must admit, I cried at the end because my legs were so tired and he had to carry me down part of the way. But I still did it.
Yes. So congratulations. That is quite the accomplishment. And you have another accomplishment. You have written a book called Mentoring Made Real, but there is so much more behind that book, and pun intended. So give us a little bit of a history and why you even wrote this book and started the ministry.
Well, God planted this ministry called More Mentoring in my heart over 10 years ago now. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary
Yay!
A few weeks ago.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. I was sitting on my couch on one Saturday morning, and it was as if God showed up on that very day and so clearly put it on my heart, like, Nancy, what you're doing, I was mentoring other women at that time, what you're doing, I want you to spread that to others and share with them and really start a ministry where you can be multiplied. And he promised, I will be the one to multiply you. You don't have to figure this out on your own, because I knew nothing. It's like, okay, Lord, if you're telling me to do that, I don't have a clue in how to do this. But that first year, I watched him put 13 young moms in my life, and I just began stepping in and saying, I'm available. I'll hang out with you at the park, at your kitchen table. We'll go out to eat. We'll have coffee, but I want to invest, and I want to be there for you. And so I just walked alongside these young moms, and every time we met together, I loved them. I listened to them. I encouraged them, but we always prayed together, and that was to our time together. That's where the transformation happened, because we were both just coming to Jesus saying, here you go. We don't know what to do in this situation, but we're coming to you. And we watched him answer our prayers immeasurably more than what we could have ever done on our own. And so that first year, I just watched that. And then I took it to my church and I said, I'd love to have something startup at our church with mentoring. And my women's ministry leader said, well, I have two other women that have the same heart for mentoring. And so we just began to pray and ask the Lord, what does this look like at our church? And that first year, we just wrote down and took took our ideas and put them on paper. And we invited women to step into these mentoring relationships. And we had 65 women involved in that first year.
Wow.
And that's where I said, you know, people are hungry for this and they want mm-hmm. this. And then one by one, the word got out and other churches wanted to hear about this. And now 10 years later, it's around the world and in other parts of the country.
Wow,
and
that's great.
I expanded it and multiplied it. And so I knew I needed to write a book and just put some of these stories in mm-hmm. there about what God had done and just some practical tools and tips of what does this look like, this prayer-focused mentoring. That's the passion of my heart because yeah. I've just heard people say, this has changed my life. Mm-hmm. And so I want other people to experience it. And so I wrote this book really because I knew that people were wanting real. And in the middle of writing this book, I was mentoring a brand new woman and I asked what her expectations were. And she said the words, I just want real. And I thought, okay, that solidified the title of this book, you know. She didn't want some professional. She didn't want some expert advice. She just yeah. wanted me to be real with her and live in an authentic relationship and talk about the hard things and the good things. And mm-hmm. so that's the story of my life and how I've mentored others. And it's how I encourage other people to step into these mentoring relationships as well.
Yeah, it really was beautiful to see the stories that you had in there. And I think you are right. There is a real need out there for a wide variety of reasons. One, there's the saying it takes a village to raise a child, but it also takes a community for just the rest of us to stay sane. And yeah. I have a great mom, but she can't fulfill every need. There is something very special about a mentor relationship that becomes mm-hmm. close. And I have someone that is very near and dear to me. And I can call her at times going, you have a different perspective on things because you're at a different place in your faith, in your life, in your relationships. And I need a different perspective because there's sometimes we can get so blinded by what we are dealing with and how we see it and how we feel yeah. about it, that it's really helpful to have someone that has invested in you, that you know cares about you and is not going to judge you. They may call you to the mat and speak mm-hmm. some truth, which I have had friends do that to me too because they love me enough, but we yeah. have enough of a relationship that I will receive it. And so right. I think that's so crucial when you're talking about building that and investing and creating a safe place. Can you share one of those stories about how that relationship really helps the mentee? And then we're also going to talk mm-hmm. about what it does for the mentor.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I think about the first woman who actually wrote on a card the words, will you be my mentor? Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I had seen those words or, you know, heard those words. And it's like my heart went to fear. And it's like, I don't know what I have to offer. What is she expecting? And can I do this? But I stopped and prayed and just said, Lord, is this something you want me to do? And I so felt him saying yes. Mm-hmm. So I invited her over that first time. And I remember pulling off all the Bible studies and books off my shelf and had them in a big pile on my coffee table. And because I figured she would just want to go through one of those. But that's not what she was looking for. She could get that at her church. She could get that other places. She mm-hmm. wanted another woman who's was a little further down that path, just like you said. And we shared so openly. She shared the hard things. I shared my story. I shared hard things. Like my life wasn't perfect. Yeah. I'm still struggling in certain areas, but we had this authentic connection mm-hmm. that was so sweet on that first time we met. Wow. And then when we prayed together, wow, we could take everything to Jesus and cover it there. And we both left so refreshed and lifted up. And like our burden was so light, mm. you know, we were fulfilled. Scripture, like that's what happens, you know, someone who refreshes another person, they're refreshed themselves.
Yeah.
And that's really what a mentor can experience. And I have so many times. And so it's a gift to both of us, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. I know that there are people that you leave and even if you've laughed, cried, shared hard things, you go away just lighter and unburdened. And I like that, the way that you put that. It's a lighter burden that you have. It didn't make everything go away. It didn't fix everything, but it's so much easier to carry then.
Yeah, Well, you know what's so interesting? I just got off the phone with my mentor today right before this call. So it's really fun. It's fresh, but she just spoke over me. And I agree wholeheartedly. She either read this from a book or just spoke these words, but she said, your struggles and the things that you go through are a spotlight that the Lord puts on your life to see if you're going to trust him. And then people are watching to see how you respond. And then they're strengthened in their faith because you have faith in the midst of that struggle. And I thought, that is so good. And that is so true. We think we can't enter because we have struggles. Mm-hmm. No, our mentors want to hear about our struggles. And that's what strengthens them because they watch us, how we respond. And even in the midst of it, you know, we might still struggle with our faith, and that's okay. They want the authentic. They want the real. And that's what ministers to them.
Yeah. And I like that you brought up that we can have questions, because I know that sometimes in the church, there's the two camps. There's the one camp of, no, you should not question God. It's somehow, if you have questions, if you have doubts, you can feel shame, you can feel judged, that is there something wrong with me? And I'm not sure that's really the healthiest for our faith, and I certainly don't think it is the healthiest for our mental health. I think it's very healthy to be able to question. And how do you handle some of those questions? Because I know as many women as you have mentored or been mentored by, there are some very hard stories in a lot of people's lives. And it's almost, if they don't struggle at all, I kind of question it and go, really? You had no questions at all? And I can't relate to that as well, because I have gone through hard things and I've questioned. I keep talking to God, which I think is the key. But can you share how you help walk women through some of those difficult times?
Yeah, I'm still learning, to be honest. You know, every situation is so unique and so different. And I have walked alongside women that have had miscarriages, that have lost babies, that have lost siblings to death, you know, hard, hard things. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to give them space to grieve. We can't come in with a quick answer and a quick fix and even a Bible verse at times. You know, I'm learning, you sit with someone. And I've had a woman say to me, thank you for sitting with me in the pit. And that's often what it is. That's what a mentor can do. You sit with someone in the pit. You're with them. You don't leave them. You don't abandon them. But, you know, I think of Job and his friends. They sat with him, but then they started speaking and saying things he didn't need to hear, you know. So I want to be the type that waits long enough to let them grieve, let them be sad, let them question, and not have a really quick fix, a quick answer. Someone shared with me once that even wait 8 seconds to respond, you know, like the 8 second rule of let them think and process. And I have practiced that, and it's hard to wait 8 seconds.
Oh my gosh. Yes. 8 seconds on the radio is like, you know, an hour.
Forever. I know. Well, there's been times in the 7th second, something will come out of her lips that she would have never said if I wouldn't have sat there in silence and let her process and think about it and then let it come out. And so I'm learning to slow down, let them process, let them share, not have that quick answer. But that doesn't always come easy. And I haven't done that really well my whole life. So I'm still in a process of learning. But I think they appreciate that, that you're with them. Anything.
Yeah, I have found that people going through difficult situations are so powerful to, as you say, just sit there with them and not try to fix it. It's so easy. And even as a parent and as a friend, you just want to jump in and you want to fix it and you make it better for them. And you can't.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. But having been on the receiving end of that, sometimes there's no fix. There's no words. There's no fix for a devastating loss. You just can't fix it. And sometimes Bible verses can help. At times, and certainly we do want to hide scripture in our heart so that it will be a comfort when the situation arises. But there's a time and a place, And as we've mentioned, the relationship needs to be there as well. Yeah. And right. I love how you brought in the praying aspect as well and how powerful that is. I know one of the stories in the book that spoke to me was that they learned to pray and then they got comfortable praying with other people. And then it had that ripple effect. And I know you're creating a bit of a ripple effect with the book and the ministry, but can you talk a little bit more about that ripple effect?
Oh my goodness, that's been the most favorite thing for me to watch. You know, this woman, that first one, Sarah is her name, the first one who asked mm-hmm. me to be her mentor. She actually just flew out here last week to celebrate our 10-year anniversary with us. She's Yay. In Minnesota, but I look at her life and how God has used her to lead other prayer groups and mm-hmm. teaching ministries and prayer ministries at her church. And now she's on the school board and she's just impacting like hundreds of people.
Wow.
And she goes back to that time of praying together. And that's what gave her confidence. She began to learn about who God was, because every time we prayed together, we looked at an attribute of God. And so we were growing in our knowledge of who God was. And then we experienced those attributes personally as he would respond to our prayers. And so that's what gives confidence. It's the greatest mentor we could ever have is mm-hmm. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all in one, you know, and we have them. We have access to them and we can go to them with anything. And God hears and he answers prayer. He loves it when we pray. And I just think, you know, there's times when I don't have an answer and it's not something specific in the Bible. You know, in 1 week, I can remember two different moms asked me, should I have my daughter go to a sleepover? And it's like, that was such a specific question. And two different moms asked me, and I said, you know what? Let's just pray. Let's ask God what he thinks. And God gave specific answers to each of them, but they were different answers. And it was just such a visual for me, like, we can trust him. He knows these people. He knows what's going to happen. I don't want to, you know, be the one that's it's on my shoulders if I say, oh, yeah, let her have a sleepover and then something bad happens.
Yeah.
All removed when we pray. That pressure is off of our shoulders as a mentor and it's on God's shoulders. And then we can watch him answer and trust him that his answers are good and perfect for us.
Yes, yes, indeed. I know it was not my children's favorite answer, but I did tell them a few times that there may be a situation where I cannot give you a specific reason why. I can only tell you that I am not at peace with it and I am not comfortable with it, and I'm going to say no. And it is not a reflection on the person or the situation. I have no idea. I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit on this one.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't always their favorite answer. but I really just kind of was like, sometimes there were those situations where you're like, well, it doesn't sound bad, but I'm not comfortable with it. And the couple of times that I overrode that, I look back and I'm like, I should have listened to that because it didn't go well. And I shouldn't have talked myself out of that. I should have stood strong and said no. And you may look back and not even realize what may or may not have happened in a situation. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you prayed, and it was a different answer, and then listening for that for right. different ones. I love that.
Now, it's so freeing, you know, it takes the pressure off for sure.
Yeah, I think it really does. And when you were first approached about being a mentor, that your first feeling was fear. mm-hmm. And I can imagine you are not the only one, that there are other right. women out there who would be very intimidated and afraid, have objections and reasons mm-hmm. why they don't think they could or should be a mentor. And what were some of those lies maybe that you were thinking, believing, those fears, and then how did you overcome them?
That's such a great question. And so often we hear the words, I'm unqualified to be a mentor. I think that's the number one thing that comes to the mind of a mentor, a potential mentor. It's like, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the experience. I don't have enough knowledge. I'm not a Bible scholar, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. Or what if she if we don't connect? What if? It's the kind of the what ifs and those doubts that come in. And I just say, you know, for me, I've just had to get beyond that. Because on the other side of all of that is your great impact and the great influence. And I've heard the words, this has changed my life. I've had to get beyond me. And so I think we can so naturally focus on, I'm not enough. I'm not the person they need. When God says, I am who they need, point them to me and let me be who I am in their lives. And so I've had to shift that thinking. It's kind of that mentoring mindset of, it's not about me. This is about God. I'll be available. I'm willing. I'm here. But Lord, use me in any way you want to. And I think that just sets me, I don't know, it sets me aside and it sets God in the rightful place where he should be. And so I'm learning, you know, it's not about who I am or who I'm not. I often feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough, you know, and it's like, I can do the best I can do and leave the rest up to the Lord. It's kind of like being a mom and raising your kids. I felt like God filled in so many gaps that I had.
Yes.
Of course I wasn't enough for my kids. Of course I wasn't always there for them, but God is and God will be. And I want them to learn that too. And so, yeah, I've learned a lot along these years and it's more about God than it is about me.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I do think it is more. And when we can get there, there is a freedom there that we cannot find, and such a sweet spot. And I wish more people could see your face right now, because there is such a smile and a passion for sharing this that is so very heartfelt. And I know you have some other goals and some passions around this. Yeah. So do share some of the exciting goals that you have for this ministry.
Oh, well, God has just put this on our heart recently. We are asking him and praying so big for 1 million mentors around the world. And we are opening up the doors to men, women, and children. We believe all three need mentors.
Yes.
We've kind of been focused on women for this past time. That's where my heart's at, but he's just showing me men need too. Children need mentors. And what would the world look like if we had a mentor that walked with us? I think mental health issues would be declining. If we just had someone to share with, and talk with, depression, anxiety, fear, all of that, and someone to pray with, I think it would be diminished, all those struggles that we go through. And I think of marriages that would be restored and churches that would be united and inviting others in if they had a mentoring ministry at their church and said, would you like a mentor? I think so many young people out there today are longing for mentors. Because I've heard recently there's a statistic that 1 million young people are leaving the church every year. And so my heart is like, what if 1 million mentors stepped in? Because I've heard another statistic that the number one thing that they desire is a person, someone that they can trust, someone that sees them and knows them and can really love them for who they are. I think it would drastically change the world. I think it could bring a revival like we've never seen before. I think it could bring an outpouring of hope, and it would just change us. And so I get excited about that, as you can see. And I want to be a voice that mentors, you're needed. There's an urgency. Lives are at stake. We need you. Let's get over us and let God step in and use us and ask him, who is it that you want me to invest in today? Who is it? And begin to pray and look for those people and then watch what God might want to do in that.
Yeah, well, I will be praying and cheering you on for that. I think it's a wonderful goal. And I am excited because I think God is capable of anything, and he may or may not just double it. So I'll throw that out.
That's right.
To him, I will say, okay, Lord, Ephesians 3:20, just go above
that's
and beyond and do even more than what they asked for.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. We receive it.
Yes. And I think you are so right in what a difference it would make, because there is so much, there's such a difference. And even I didn't realize it until I was older. The difference between religion and relationship. And Jesus didn't die to just give us a church or a religion.
Yeah.
He died because he loved us and wanted a relationship with us. Yes. And I wish the church did a better job of being like Jesus. Yes, there's right and wrong. And being able to balance that, the right and the wrong and what the Bible says, but also loving people where they're at, yeah, and not leaving them there, but loving them where they are at. And yeah, I think there somehow I just imagine Jesus being able to look at people and them knowing that he could see everything, but yet he completely, yeah, and totally loved them exactly where they're at. And I think that's the beautiful thing about mentorship, because I think that's about as close to, you know, a relationship with Jesus when you put that skin on. And,
right,
and I think you really do, right, put the hands and feet to Jesus when, yes, you are living out that mentor relationship.
Yeah, I agree. My mentor's done that for me. It's like mm-hmm, I feel like I've been with Jesus after I've been with her, you know? And so, yeah, there's something really special about that. And it's the Holy Spirit living, yes, within inside another person. And that overflow comes out. You can't help it, mm-hmm, you know? And so it's that beautiful relationship. Like you said, I love that word. And yeah, Jesus longs for that with us, but also for us to have that with other people.
Mm-hmm. Because he is with us at all times, but I can't necessarily put my fingers on him.
I know.
I think there's sometimes when we really do need someone with skin on, and that's where the mentorship,
yeah,
comes in. Now, if you had an opportunity to encourage someone, maybe someone's feeling the desire to be a mentor, maybe they want to have a mentor, or maybe there's something else that's really burning in their heart, what would you say to encourage someone to step out and go ahead and do it?
Yeah, I just want to say you can do this. It's not that hard. I love simplicity, but I love the power in simplicity, you mm-hmm, know, that prayer piece. And maybe you feel intimidated even in praying with someone.
Yeah.
Start simple. You know, we have written mentoring guides to help you. So if we put something in your hand that you don't have to come up with the questions to ask someone, you don't have to come up with encouraging things to say to them. It's in the book for you. We can walk you through the prayer points and how to pray together. And so if all of that is intimidating or it makes you feel nervous, we have tools to put in your hands that you can do this and start really simply. And I would just say three words. Start with prayer. Ask God, who is it that you're putting in my life? And then just be aware and watch. You know, maybe it's someone in your family.
Mm-hmm.
I mentored our 25-year-old son a few years ago, and it was the most beautiful thing to have that time together and grow closer together. I would have never thought about that unless,
yeah,
the Lord just put that in my mm-hmm, heart. And, you know, look in your neighborhood or at your workplace or at your church. Who is it that God has put in your heart that maybe you could reach out to? And then I say the word pursue. Go after that person. Don't wait for them to come to you. We all, yeah, need to be pursuing each other. It's not just a mentee asking a mentor. It's not just mm-hmm, a mentor asking a mentee. Let's pursue each other. And maybe it's, you just say the words, do you want to go out for coffee together? Or do you want to come over to my house? And let's just get to know each other. I want to hear your story.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be, I'm here to be your mentor and let's, you know, do this for the rest of our lives.
Sign a contract.
So, that's right. But let's just get to know each other and step into each other's lives. So pursue. And then the third one I would just say is participate. Lean in, get to know that person. Don't quit on them. Don't cancel them. We live in this cancel culture. You know,
yeah,
if it gets messy, we want anything to do with that person. But even if it gets messy, stay there, participate, lean in, be a part of their lives. And I just think you're going to receive so much satisfaction and joy. I can say that. It's so fulfilling.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I know I'm doing what I'm made to do. God has called us to go and make disciples. And that mm-hmm, can look very different from person to person. But do it the way God made you to do it.
Yeah,
it might be really different than the way I do it, but you have a unique personality. You have spiritual mm-hmm, gifts. You have your own story. Let that shine and let it come forth and just be who God made you to be. But watch God do it through you, and you'll receive so much joy from it.
Amen and amen. I second that. Wonderful. Now, Nancy, if they want to find more about you or find out more about mentoring, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
Yes. Well, we have a website and it's morementoring.org.
Okay.
So check us out there. You'll find we have tools, a lot of different mentoring guides. We have training for mentors and those who want to mobilize the mentors, like your church. If you want to start a mentoring ministry at your church or business or organization, we have all those tools right there in training. And then we have an online community as well that you can come and join us and just receive encouragement and prayer from other people that are doing this. And it's been so fun to just see other people from different parts of the world join us in that community and learn from each other and connect there. I love connecting with people and yes. building relationships. So yeah, we want to be here to serve people in however we can. So morementoring.org.
Well, Nancy, thank you. Thank you for listening to God and what He placed on your heart and stepping out and doing that. And thank you for coming and sharing that with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart. I'm Lisa Granger. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Nancy Lindgren today and are encouraged to find the relationships in the community you need to thrive. For all the show notes and more about A Woman's Heart or me, you can go to my website, lisagranger.com. Could you tell a friend about A Woman's Heart? Most people are more likely to listen if they hear about the show from a friend, and you never know what someone may hear that sparks that passion in their hearts.
I appreciate you listening, and make sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And please leave a rating or review. It means so much to me and helps others to find the encouragement on the podcast as well. Have a blessed day.